It's certainly great to see you today, and it's always great to see all those children that are with us and those mamas and daddies who are bringing them and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and all the above. I'm so glad. I mean, we've got another good crowd today, and I know that we had some challenges a little bit earlier, maybe getting connected to my account on Facebook, but I think all that's worked out now, and so I'm thankful for the opportunity we have to worship both in person and virtually. Before we get into our lesson today, I do want to get you to add a couple names to your prayer list that I forgot to give Justin earlier. Brother Ray Kemp's brother-in-law, Mike Bullock, we've mentioned him before. Those who know Derica Bullock from Mobile Christian, it's her father as well. He is in the hospital with COVID-19 and really needs our prayers. And so Derica, I know, has been keeping that updated on Facebook, but very serious matter. And so please pray for the Bullock family, especially Mike at this time. Also, Sister Ashley White's grandmother has been diagnosed recently with cancer, and that's very hard on her, very hard on them, and certainly we want to remember their family as they try to get the right path to take with her in the very near future. I am so thankful that we are able again to be here. Today's lesson, again, sticking with our theme of focus, is to really focus on not staying down. The devil has worked really hard to try to knock us down. And I let me speak broader than that. I believe he's worked really hard to try to keep the church down. I believe he's working really hard to try to keep Christianity down. I think he wants to silence it. Now, let's face it. He's not going to ever defeat God. He's not going to ever defeat Jesus Christ. That battle has been fought, and that battle has been won. Okay? The church is always going to exist. But boy, he's really trying real hard to hurt the church. He's trying to keep us down. But as the old saying goes, you can't keep a good fill-in-the-blank, man, woman, whoever it is, down. Well, we want to talk today in unison, leave here with a mindset, with the attitude of, you can't keep a good Christian down. No matter how many times he knocks us off our feet or we get too close to the edge and we fall in, there's always that hand to rescue as long as there's breath in our body. And before that trumpet sounds and those clouds roll back, as long as we have hope, there is an opportunity to get up. Today, I want to speak as a whole to all of us, because you may have walked in or you may be tuned in really knocked down, really deflated, really hurt, really struggling. Today's lesson is for us, for all of those who feel that way, for all of those who have had struggles or continue to struggle. You know, I've used this before. I stole it from Bill a long time ago when he gave it to me, because I love Rocky so much. And you've heard me say it in sermons before and in classes before. But Rocky Balboa, I know he's not real, but in my heart of hearts, I love that character. I love those movies. And with it, as a kid, I watched them and everything else. But Rocky II is my favorite Rocky movie of all of them. You know, in Rocky I, as he fights Apollo Creed, he's just randomly picked to kind of celebrate the bicentennial, so saying that, hey, we're a country that we can give anybody hope and we can give anybody an opportunity. And his desire is to just go the distance with the champion. And that's what he does. But then Rocky II comes along, and now he wants to win the title. But Apollo is really, really just driven. And he comes out, and he didn't want to show that first fight was a fluke. So he beats Rocky really, really bad. In the first round, he knocks him down. In the second round, he knocks him down. And now Mickey, his trainer, his corner man, he's telling him, hey, just stay down. You're going to be permanently injured. You're going to be permanently hurt. Just stay on the canvas and let him count to 10. And so he's in the corner, and he's in that. Before that third round starts, he looks at his corner man after he's been knocked down in each of the first two rounds, and he makes that famous statement, "I ain't going down no more." That mentality has got to be our mentality. No matter how many times the devil knocks us in our jaw, knocks us in our chin, in our nose, in our body, wherever he tries to attack us. And let's face it, in 2020, he is trying to knock us out. But we've got to have the mindset, I'm not going down anymore. Because that's where the true Christians, the true soldiers of the cross, as we sing, it's time for us to not stay down, but arise and put our armor on. Because there is a war going on. And the war is a very little word. But boy, it has such a big meaning. It has such a big consequence. The word is sin. And of course, it's three little letters. S-I-N. I emphasize in the slide, as you can see there, the capital I in the direct middle of sin. We are the center of our sin problems. If I have a sin problem today, it's because of I. It's because of Terry. It's because of me and myself. If you have a sin problem today, fill in your name. Right? It's not God's fault. It's not Jesus Christ's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's mine. James even said, we are drawn away by our own desires. And by the way, I'm sorry I'm a little hoarse. Had a little game Friday night, a Mobile Christian that I probably yelled a little bit at. But anyhow, I'm not sick. I don't want anybody to think that Terry's up there spreading sickness. I'm just hoarse from yelling. But James said we are drawn away by our own desires, enticed by our own lusts. You see, it's my fault if I let sin knock me down. But you know what it's time to do? It's time to get up. I love in Joshua, when Joshua himself, man, what a great moment. Didn't Joshua need a victory? Didn't he need something great to happen as he's taken over these knuckle-headed, rebellious Israelites? Didn't he, as he's going to cross the Jordan River and lead them into the promised land, didn't he need a great victory? Sure he did. So what happened, Jericho? Man, what a great victory. What a great moment. Well, guess what? When we have great victories, sometimes we forget who got us those great victories. And I'm not saying that's the case with Joshua, but maybe they let their guard down a little bit. Because the next city wasn't as mighty. It was a little city compared to Jericho called Ai. And they come up with this plan and they reduce soldiers and they reduced all this and maybe they're feeling like, hey, nobody's going to attack us or beat us or anything like that. And Ai whipped them. Whipped them. Now remember, there was sin in the camp and all those things, right? But here's my point I want to get to. Joshua, again, a great leader, a great example. What does he do? He tears his clothes, he mourns, he gets down on the ground, and he's just, poor, I'm sorry, please forgive me, all those things. I love what God tells him. He said simply, Joshua, get up. Get up. Maybe today, he's telling us, Terry, fill in your name, get up. Get up. Today's a new day. Today's God's day. And we need to do everything in our power to focus on not being down, not staying down, but being that city that is set up on a hill, shining bright for all to see. The story I picked to to talk about today is one of the cool stories to me of the whole Bible. And it's found in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let's read it together. Mark 2 now, beginning in verse 1. And again he, Jesus Christ, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. I mean, this is, word is spreading now of how powerful and awesome our Savior is. And what did Jesus do? He preached the word to them, verse 2. Verse 3 now. Then came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, great, great scene, right? They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Shame on them, right? What a great scene. But there's always naysayers. There's always negative people. Joy stealers. Verse 7. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" That's got to make their eyes open about this big, right? "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven to you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know," this is a very important verse right here, "but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Man, that's a great story. It's a powerful story. And in the midst of it all, here's to me the theme of it. Paralyzed man, get up, because I'm taking away everything that's going to keep you down. Wow, what a scene. What an idea, right? Hey, Azalea City, hey, fill in your name. Get up, because I've taken away everything that will keep you down. Jesus Christ, 2020. But just to illustrate it even more, I want us to think about now several things in this story that hopefully will be a reminder in our hearts that when we feel down, when we feel like we can't get up, when we can't go any further, I want you to remember this story. And I want you to remember these points. Number one, if I'm going to get up today, if I'm going to get up for God, then I've got to get rid of the problem. If you go back to the story, on the surface, the reason the man could not get up was because of his legs, right? Because he could not, he didn't have strength, he didn't have feeling, he didn't have what he needed to do to get off the bed and get up. But I suggest to you, that was not his biggest problem that day. No, you see, his biggest problem from getting to Jesus Christ, from getting up, is what Jesus took away from him right off the bat. And that was that little word with that capital I, sin. You see, yes, he had a walking problem. He had a getting up problem. But apparently he also had a sin issue as well. Because Jesus Christ, right off the bat, told him, "Your sins are forgiven." Today, there may be some physical issues that keep us from reaching that hand or reaching and holding on to God and doing what we want to do. Maybe our legs don't work like they used to. Maybe our backs don't work like they used to. Maybe we can't function in our bodies like we used to function in our bodies. Maybe because we've had whatever, right? Maybe that's keeping us from physically doing what we want to do. That's one issue. But the big issue is this. If sin is keeping us from doing what we want to do for God, then today there is a solution. And that solution is Jesus Christ. You see, if I am staying away from God because of my selfish desires, today is the day when I need to get rid of the problem. Once again, Jerusalem, I don't know, 31 B.C., right? Or 28 B.C., let me say it that way. Somewhere in there, right? What happened? Jesus said to that paralyzed man, I've taken away all your obstacles. I've taken away all your issues. Get up. Jesus Christ, 2020, to all of us, I've taken away all your issues. I've taken away all your obstacles. Get up. Secondly, though, as we look into the eyes of this story, if I'm going to get up and get active for God, then I need to remember the people in my life that are encouragers to me. If you go back and you look at verse 3, we see that this paralyzed man had four people that mattered in this story. No, we don't know their names. No, we don't know their backgrounds, their histories, or what have you. But I know these people were a big encouragement to this paralyzed man. They played a huge part in helping this man get up. Right? In fact, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother's born for adversity. There's been throughout the Bible good people who helped one another get up and get active. There have been good people who have helped people get up and get to victory. Well, today, let's survey the world. I could survey the world and find a lot of bad people. And I think you probably could too. I could just scan across the atmosphere of culture today, and I could find people that are against God. I can find people that are portraying sin and gladly portraying sin. But I want you to know that in my own life, I can survey the atmosphere in my life. I can survey the climate of my life, of the people in my life, and I can look back on my life, and many of those people are in this room. Many of those people are tuned in virtual. Many of those people have gone on to their reward. I've had people help me get up. And for those people, I'm thankful. And for those people, I thank God for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus and God in you. It's what Bill read to us earlier. It's what we've read 2 weeks in a row now. Why? Because what a powerful thought process that we need to be thankful for the people when we couldn't go any further that carried us. That carried us. Looked out for our best interests and even brought us to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, if I'm going to be able to get up and get active and get closer to God, I've got to stick to the plan. This is my favorite part of the story, truth be told. This is my favorite part of the story. Because you know why? They're carrying this guy on his bed. Now, I know there are four of them, and I'm sure each one has a corner, kind of the way I visualize it in my head. But I don't know how far they carried him. But have you ever had to carry something a long ways and you see the finish line and you're like, hallelujah? And you get there and you just want to set it down and like, I'm sure it wasn't like a, you know, very just enjoyable trip, right? But when they get there, what do they see? This crowd that's overflowing. The one that's going to help him get up is in the center of the room. And they can't get through this crowd with this guy. So in other words, a lot of people, you know what they'd have said? Again, remember those people, how special they are. They might have said, hey, John, just fill in a name there. Hey, John, man, hey, maybe tomorrow. And John's sitting there thinking, I never walked. What do you mean? That's not what they said. They said, plan A's failed. Guess what? We're going to plan B. Our plan, our mission was to make our friend, our buddy, our neighbor get to Jesus Christ today so that he can get up. So they went to the roof. Again, they don't know these. I mean, I don't know that they know these people, but they just start taking tiles off that roof. And now there's this gaping hole. And they start lowering this guy down. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose. Guess what today? If your future has you down, if this economy, if this culture, if this country, if this struggle, if this fill in the blank has you down, then what I want to tell you today is what the proverb writer said, commit your plans, your work to the Lord, and He will work out everything else. You know what they did? They carried Him. It was crowded. Then they went up on the roof. And by the way, they had to get Him up there too now. Okay? And carrying Him upstairs or however they got up there. They lower Him down. And you know what they did? They left it with Jesus. They left Him with Jesus. Because they stuck to the plan. They committed their work to Jesus Christ. And you know what He did? He got the man up. And the man started walking. Fourthly, this morning, if we want to get up and we want to get active, and we want to do what God wants us to do, then we've got to remember the promise. Brandy said this in class this morning, that we've got to remember the promises God's given. And I knew that this was one of our points today. You see, we've got to remember God is not capable of lying. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, told that man in verse 5, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. When you and I walk this aisle, as Brother Mike, one of our elders, prayed this morning, and we are baptized into Jesus Christ, and we contact His perfect life-saving, life-giving blood, we come up out of that water. You know what He's saying to you and me? Your sins are forgiven. We either believe that or we don't. But I'm going to stand on the I believe it crowd. I'm going to stand in that line. Today, if your sins have been washed away, they are gone. Leave them gone. Don't let that hold you back anymore. Acts 2, verse 39. We know 38 pretty well, right? Here's 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. If you can get that off your bed today, okay? You can get sin off your bed. If you have submitted your life to Jesus Christ, you can leave that laying. Accept the promise and let's press on. And then there's one final point this morning I want to leave you with. And that's the one I just said. We got to keep pressing on. I'm going to reread verses 8 through 12 of Mark chapter 2. But immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately He arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." This paralyzed man was healed from everything that was holding him back that day. He was healed from his sins. He was healed from his paralysis. That man knew that bed. Don't you know? He knew his bed. He'd been in that bed for a long time. In fact, it's probably what he knew best. It was his comfort zone. It was his security. It's what he relied on. Jesus said, "Here's what I want you to do with that bed. I want you to get off of it. And I want you to carry it. And I want you to take it home." Now, we don't know this part, but I like to think that He said, "And I want you to leave it there. Because you're going to sleep in that bed. But you're not going to be bound to that bed anymore." Now, the paralyzed man had a choice. All he knew was his bed. It's his security. It's his comfort. It's what he's relied on people carrying him around on. He could have said, "No, Jesus, I like my bed. I'm going to stay in my bed." But he carried it out of there. And he did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Sometimes we can have everything that's holding us back taken away. We can have our sins washed away. We can have our prayers answered. We can have newness of life. But then all of a sudden, we go back to our old ways. Why? Because it's all we know. It's what's comfortable. It's our security. It's the way we only know. Getting up and walking, getting up and pressing on. Sometimes that's uncomfortable. Sometimes that hurts. Maybe walking would cause this man, his muscles and his legs that weren't working before, to ache because they're sore and they're all. Maybe tomorrow he was going to have a hard day getting up. But he got up. Today, why do we quit? Why do we stay down? Why should we, as the church of our Lord, walk around defeated? Well, the answer is we shouldn't. Today, it's time to get up. Maybe we need to remember the people in our lives. Maybe we need to understand I got to stick to the plan. Maybe I've got to remember those promises. But I can tell you one thing, if I'm going to press on to the goal of the upward call of that which is in Christ Jesus, then I got to get up. And today, church, I'm tired of us as a church in 2020 being down. It's time to press on. It's time to get up. It's time to get active and be what God wants us to be. Today, if you're here and sin has held you down, the good news is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took that problem away. And today, you can walk this aisle, confess His sweet name, be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you're at home and you want us to come to you and find a place to baptize you, hey, there's a lot of water and we can make that happen. Or maybe you're here today and you've done all that, but you're still laying on your bed. I'm going to encourage you today to get off the bed. And let's get up and let's come home right now together. We stand and sing.